Welcome back to Football with Ben Roethlisberger. My name is Spence. And as always, I am joined here with two-time Super Bowl champion, Ben Roethlisberger.
Hey.
There he is.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Welcome back, Spence.
I'm here.
Do you feel refreshed after your bye week?
I do, man. You know, it's a good time off.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Steelers are now 7-0 coming off the bye.
Is that right?
And I feel like we are too.
We are undefeated.
We're undefeated coming off the bye.
Man, it feels good.
So we are here hours after a Steelers big victory on the road in LA.
Yes.
Over the Rams. We will talk about that. I'm excited to talk about that because there's, there's some stuff to talk about.
There is.
A very controversial but good ending for the black and gold fans.
I'll take it.
Absolutely. We will talk about the game a little bit. We will talk about next week's game against the Jaguars coming in town and how we might try and make that a special.
Oh, yeah. We got some footballing. Fun stuff
planned. Talk about that. But and we'll definitely hit our beers. Maybe catch. I'm trying to think if there's anything we talk about in life, but let's
some life stuff.
There might be some life stuff, but let's start it off with a beer. I'd like to.
We can do that.
I'd feel after today's victory, I need a beer.
Yeah.
Besides this beer that I have here.
What, you know what's funny is that one actually got sent in. We're not. Oh, dude, look how dented this is.
Oh boy.
This is gonna be.
Oh boy.
I just want you to see that. I just want you to see that it's dented.
I did it.
I want the people to see. Listen, I'm doing all the techniques that you guys sent in and clown me about. Look, I'm gonna roll it or whatever. Do what someone said. Do this.
Really?
I don't know. I probably just made it worse. Yeah.
Probably made it worse.
No, just get the little gentle.
You got it.
A little gentle love. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign.
But you eased into it.
Yeah. So. But the beer you have there is actually sent in by. I actually don't know who sent it in, but because I don't have the note there, but yeah. it was sitting in your fridge there.
Yeah.
And we had some friends come over.
Chris Canole.
Yeah. He come over.
He's like, and I had one in there. He's like, oh boy. Careful. Don't cut yourself now. It's like the half open. People are really going to get on you.
Bro. Yeah. That's all right.
Here you go. Here's a Sharpie.
What else?
Who's down with that? Yeah. So Chris was, I had one in there and Chris was like, oh, you have that beer. Can I have it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, typically I tell you, yeah, whatever you want to have in there. But I'm like, you just got to tell me how it is before we do
right.
a show on it. We're going to talk about it.
And you have told people, no, we're saving that for the show.
Yeah, saving it for the show. Yeah. Like we want to save it for the show. Right. And so I told him to save and he's like, it's one of the best beers you'll ever find. You know, like whatever, best IPAs, this, that, and the other. So I decided to have it tonight here. It is very good. I like it. It's not overly hoppy. It's crazy because it's got so much. Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, man, I'm good on that.
It's like there's so much filament.
I just think like the ones you got to like roll and do a whole thing.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I probably have that all sitting in my belly.
Yeah.
In my belly. Look at this light guy.
Yeah, just a little.
So, light. Yeah, we're going to start this off. The Sunday night game is on tonight, which will be, I think it's going to be a great game. Dolphins, Eagles.
Yes.
But
I got some Dolphin questions for you too, man.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
But we'll get into that. So all three beers that we're going to do tonight were sent in by the same people.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we have,
same people,
Caitlin and Mark.
Caitlin and Mark.
Yeah. Mark Dolak, I believe is sent this in.
Okay.
They also sent in, I thought this was hilarious. A terrible towel, custom terrible towel.
Oh.
That they had made for their wedding.
Of course.
Because he's a Steelers fan. She wasn't. And as they got together.
I bet she is now.
Yep. He converted her over to the black and gold. And so they had that at their wedding. They sent that in. So in honor of the Steelers win, I might just wear that tonight. but this is a, it's called River Days Lager from Deep River Brewing Company.
Okay.
It's a classic lager with lime.
Yes. Right? I thought it.
And so Deep River, the Deep River family is full of outdoorsy, adventurous folks that love to boat, float, kayak, and swim in the beautiful lakes and rivers of North Carolina, which is where these two met.
Ah,
all right.
Wonder if they're boating or floating or
They might kayaking. Be kayaking or swimming.
Or right? swimming.
And the old boat and float. All right. It says, we took our fan favorite lager and added a hefty dose of lime to make it even more crisp and refreshing.
Mm-hmm. I smell that.
Enjoy in or around the water.
Yes. I the smell makes me think of the lake.
Yeah.
Makes me think of the pool. The garden hose in the backyard, the sprinkler attached to it.
That's my neighborhood growing up.
It's the same thing. Smells really good though.
Oh, it does smell good.
Like it smells crisp.
Yeah.
It smells a little limey, almost like a natural, like a Corona lime natural or something.
I'm going to see what our.
Oh.
4.5%.
Yeah.
Not so much.
No. So here's what I'm going to say. The initial mouthfeel was like, oh, this is really good.
Yes.
Like crispy, like a nice lime. Like it tastes like an old Bud Light lime. Remember the Bud Light lime?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like it had that to it. But then the aftertaste is a little unusual, but I need it. So I need to try some more. And I know it's not my excuse to try some more. It's just got a.
This is about to sound.
Oh, boy.
Oh, look. Picture of them at their wedding waving the terrible towel.
No
Yeah, dude. They come out and.
Got everybody there waving their terrible towels.
They sent that in.
He has a Miami jersey on. Where's the other picture?
Oh, yeah.
Is he wearing a Miami jersey?
Yeah, wearing your Miami jersey, dog.
Look at my guy.
Yeah. So he said.
Mark and Caitlin. Thank you, guys.
He moved away from PA 13 years ago to go to college in California. He's never left. I guess they were still out in California. Mm-hmm. But I met his wife while she was visiting Wilmington, North Carolina after a year dating long distance. Moved to the coast. North Carolina. So.
Well, thank you guys. You know what?
And they picked a bunch of
Carolina beers.
Yeah.
Is this your water, by the way?
No, I thought that was your water. No,
it's not mine. I just wanted to do something.
Yeah, let me show. Okay, so I was going to say, this probably sound dumb, but what else is new? Tastes like a Sprite a little bit.
A Sprite?
You get that? Is that just me?
I didn't, but.
All right. Hey. I'm okay with it. A little bit of Sprite.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can. I taste the hint of that.
That might just
maybe it's the lemon lime, like the lime of the lemon.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't hate it. I think it's going to be a strong 5.
Okay. So my second one I just had, I like it better. The first time, I don't know, it was just unusual. That it was just unusual.
Yeah.
It might be because I'm so used to the IPAs and stuff. But I like this. I definitely could drink this by a pool.
Oh, if we're boating, floating? If we're boating and floating, dude, for sure.
I like it. It's growing on me.
I really like lagers. That's a 5 for me with lagers.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
I like that. I like a lager that has like a rich
flavor. Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, it's not like your traditional lager with the that meaty, but in terms of like that little bit of lime, that crispness, that refreshing. I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay.
Almost a 7.
Yeah.
It's also deeper. End of October, so it's not the perfect beer for right now. So I'm trying to put myself in a situation, a place where that's going to be delightful, and I could see myself there.
For sure.
And it is light. It feels light. So thank you, Caitlin and Mark. And all 3 of these from them, right?
Yeah.
Deep River Brewing. I think you guys did a great job with this, I'm going to be honest. It's a classic lager with a lime.
I think they're all,
River Days.
Hey, man.
I think icy cold.
Yeah.
Pull like out of the cooler, like water little ice falls everywhere. Yeah.
Little slushy almost. Yeah, you freeze it like, that'd be real good.
No, I think that's a good one. I like that one.
Cool.
I could keep
that's a good
that
start.
One. Yeah, it's a good start.
And it's 4.5, so you can keep drinking that one.
I might, actually, after finish my.
It might be a little too much lime for me.
Which is unusual.
Yeah.
For you,
yeah,
because of you like to cook.
I do.
You make a lot of like.
I use a lot of lime. A
lot of lime in your cooking. I know you. I see your Corona with a lime.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't know. I've ever heard you say too much lime before.
I know.
So that throws me off.
First time for everything.
The Polynesian.
Man. Yeah.
The Polynesians don't do limes.
More coconut. Yeah, we're more.
Even though you didn't know the coconut beer that I brought.
No, dude, I missed that coconut. Clean, bro. I missed that completely. Yeah,
Good job. I like it. I'm happy.
It's still good. You guys should try it. And
try for yourself. That's a good show. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, man, we're getting better.
Anything else you got to
talk about? We are getting better at this every time.
That was like an hour and a half, wasn't it?
Yeah, we are efficient. So today is week 7.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Of the NFL season, there's a lot that happened around the league that was really cool. A lot of actually, there's a lot of stuff that was happening within our division. Obviously, the Bengals had a bye week.
Okay,
But I think you want to jump into the Steelers Rams game now.
Yeah, we can,
because I think there's plenty to talk about. I will say I don't know what the rest of the I know we have had a stat going around says I think it was like 53 games or something since our last 400 yard game.
Yeah, probably 54
now. Yeah. So
and a half, we had 91 yards of offense. So I knew that was another.
We ended with 300.
Chalked out. Did we end with 300?
We ended with 300.
Wow, we were almost there.
Yeah, we were almost there. So yeah, we pulled out a win.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yes. Close it out 24-17. I'll tee it up like that and just tell me what you saw, man. We can start from the beginning and go through, and then we can double back on some of the key points.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like I'm trying to figure out how I feel. Yeah. I mean, I know how I would feel as a player. Like, hey, we won. And that's how I feel as a fan. Like, we won. That's all that matters. But like looking back at it, I'm still like trying to process, because we are just a couple hours removed from the game.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to process how I feel. Like all the things I saw, I think it was great to see Deontay back out there. I think he was huge for the offense, for Kenny. I thought Kenny had a little slow start, missed some throws, but what's he keep doing? He keeps finding ways to win the fourth quarter. Yep. Come back, Kenny. So I think that was really big. I think obviously TJ is just, I texted him like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're unbelievable. When are they going to put him on offense? Come on, put him in, give him a touch on offense.
As soon as I walked into your house.
It's unbelievable.
You're like, hey, man, what did you just miss?
Did you see it?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw it. Yeah, I just saw when I left my house, TJ put in his application to be on offense.
Yes,
yeah.
With his hands. I mean, we'll talk about that play.
My brother came in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He's so good.
My God.
I'm trying to give you like a full everything I see and remember, and then we can go into it. I thought, we talked about on this show, starting fast, halves or games. I thought that the second half with TJ making an interception, I mean, that's huge. And then you go to score, that's starting fast in the second half. I liked Deontay catching some of those out routes I talked about last week. And now maybe they put those in because they all listen to this show. I doubt it.
Definitely.
But I think, or maybe it just has to do with him, like having Deontay back. Maybe that's his specialty.
Yeah,
well, maybe that's what he does.
One of the best route runners in the league.
So. They went with the back shoulder again quite a few times. With George again, it keeps working.
Yep.
I thought the Steelers obviously got lucky, which you have to in a football game. I'm not trying to, but there were two missed field goals, a missed extra point, some penalties. Obviously, the last play of the game, unusual last play, that fourth down play by Kenny. That's going to be talked about all week, and it's unfortunate because what it'll do is it'll end up being the talk of the week, and everyone's going to be talking about it. So it'll unfortunately take away from the win a little bit, probably. And I shouldn't say take away; it'll draw attention away from like they won and two. Should they have even got the first? Should it have been a win? What would have happened if the Rams got the ball back? Sure. I mean, the defense has been shutting them down the second half, so you could probably say nothing would have happened.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
But you never know. Cooper Kupp dropping two balls early, I was like, holy cow.
Dude, he only had two catches, 29 yards.
It's crazy. At one point, that one receiver for them had more yards than the Steelers' offense.
Yes.
But then, I'm just trying to encapsulate everything here. I thought the second half, especially the fourth quarter, Steelers looked great on offense. Are we going to give Matt Canada praise? Are Steelers fans going to back off the Fire Canada stuff? Or is that just now they're doing it every time?
Are you asking a rhetorical question?
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying.
What
like,
do you think?
I thought he did. Did he not call a good game in the second half especially? I mean, did he? Fourth quarter, the runs, some of the passes, throwing those out routes, throwing go balls, throwing some in-breaking stuff. I thought they did good stuff.
I agree with you.
I thought that was really good. I thought you can look at anything. You can say, oh, there were some penalties that probably shouldn't have got called. But that's any game. We got away with some. They got away with some. I don't want to dive into too much of that kind of stuff. But all in all, you go into a game like that, which, people have been calling like a coin flip game. Literally, like, who's going to win? I don't know. Flip a coin.
Yeah.
And to go on the road, I'd say the Steelers had to be dogs because you're at home. If it's a coin flip game, the home team has to have the advantage.
Sure.
But, of course, Steeler Nation travels, and they made that a home game with all the towels and stuff, which what you expect. We talked about that, I think, when you got here is you know, the West Coast is always so well represented by Steeler fans. When we used to go to San Diego and play the Chargers,
yeah,
it was the best because that place was 90% Steeler fans.
Well, dude, that was the thing when I was watching the game. I'm like, man, Acrisure looks nice. They do some renovations. What?
Yes.
That's SoFi.
So yeah. Anyway, they made it. You know, that's what happens. I thought they did a good job kind of controlling Aaron Donald. Yeah, he's a game wrecker.
I agree.
And so just all in all, I thought the Rams helped out the Steelers a little bit too, like abandoning the passing game a little bit. I think that, to me, that shows a lack of confidence in their offensive line. I don't think they believed in them. Hmm. Speaking of offensive line, one of my old starters was there, Kevin Dotson, one that they got for me that's not there anymore, that's over there. He's there.
I didn't pay too much attention to see how he played today.
He had one penalty that I know of. I don't know how else he played, but he had a penalty at one point. But maybe played well other than that. So I'm just trying to in my brain go through kind of what I remember. I thought Minka was all over the place today. I thought he made a lot of unbelievable plays, which is what we have come to expect. So that's nothing new again. But I thought I thought having Deontay out there was huge. Mm-hmm. I think it attracts eyes. From the defense.
Has to.
I think it allows you to do some things. They've moved him to the Z position, which puts him to the field a little bit more, gives him more space because in and out of breaks, route running, I don't know if there's anybody better than him in the league with his quickness and stuff. So I'm glad he was out there again. I think that's, they're just, and I thought Jalen ran hard. I thought Naj ran super hard today. We probably need to talk at some point about the negative plays by receivers in terms of unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. George again. And that could have been crucial. I mean, he gets a big play and then does a taunt and Mike pats him on the butt, tells him to get back in there.
So
it's just, I just don't know how long do we allow that to keep happening? Because now it didn't end up hurting the team, but what if it did? Okay, what if they end up losing
on
that?
So that's my question. If we camp out in there for a second, and not to like, I don't want to be a dead horse, but I do want to gain a little bit of clarity. So that happens. That's a tough one because I don't remember what Deontay ended up picking up there on that.
No, that was George, right?
No, Deontay picked it up, and George had a – oh, no, that was a different
one. That was a different play. Yes, that was earlier in the game when he cleaned that. He came back 100%. And cleaned that dude up.
That didn't feel dirty to me. Just felt like –
yeah, I can – you know, it's an illegal play.
He was trying to help his guy.
I don't think he was trying to hurt anybody. I don't think he was trying to do anything. Now, he's got to know the rules. So, in that sense, it's dirty.
Sure.
In that sense.
I understand what
you're saying. I don't think he was trying to, like, hurt anybody. Like, he could have, like, went for his head, did some bad stuff. But it's illegal. It's a penalty. That's legit. I'm talking about the play where he gets in someone's face and creates – like, that's an unsport. Like, you don't need to do that.
So
there's no point in doing that.
So you have that play. Mm. Obviously, you're like, man, what are we doing?
Yes. Right?
Sideline's probably feeling that as well.
Yes.
You come out with the dub. It's like, okay, you catch an L, though, right? You lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
Is that – on Monday morning, is that a little bit of a different conversation?
For sure, because I think what's going to happen is it might get talked about in the meeting. It might. Coach Tomlin might just see that rug and lift that up.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I've seen him do it in the past with guys. You know, I'll put up with you till I can replace you.
Sure.
It looked like he said something to him. What he said, only those two will know.
Yeah.
But you just can't do it. You can't have those. I mean, it seems like it's almost every week that we're having something like that happen. Now, again, it hasn't hurt us yet. But all it takes is one time. What happens if that happens in a fourth quarter and literally you get a first and it changes the game? Do we just keep allowing that stuff? Like at some point you've got to put a stop to it now before it gets out of control.
Yeah.
Because that kid, I'm going to say it again, George Pickens is a absolute animal.
Yeah.
He's a game changer.
Freaking nature.
He's a difference maker. But you gotta get under control before it gets out of control and you lose it forever.
Yeah.
Because it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen. And so I just don't want to see someone with that much talent lose it like that. Because he is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, I'm on this topic too long, but I just don't want to see it hurt the team. And I know there's going to be guys that are going to be like, come on, man. You gotta cut that out.
And I think what's cool is that you do have guys on the team. You know, you have guys like Deontay, man, right? You do have guys who are veteran players. Allen Robinson, right? Veteran player. Not veteran to our team, but like been around a little bit.
Yeah.
Who are able to kind of in that room that could step up and probably speak to it a little bit differently than you know, maybe a coach or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I do.
But is that man going to listen? That's the difference, that's, right?
Hey, man.
That's you got to be able. You can have great guys speaking, but yep. you got to be able to hear it.
But that's the thing, man. That's all you can do is all you can do, right? You know what I mean? So
we'll see what happens with it. But anyway, I thought. We just got to be careful with those penalties. But all in all, I thought the defense played well today. I was surprised. I will say this. I was surprised at how well they ran the ball on us.
Me
with
too.
With like their backups.
Yes.
I did not expect that. I thought it was going to be a field death. I thought they're going to have to throw the ball all over the place. And I thought that our guys were going to, you know, our edge guys were going to tee off.
Kudos to them, man.
Yeah.
I will say this. I thought, obviously, TJ. I mean, but I thought Alex Housman played a great game. Man, he forced
some step ups by Stafford.
It's a lot of pressure.
Creating that sense. Sometimes when you're a quarterback, you can be a rush guy. I'll just say Alex, as we're talking about him. His stat line might be like no sacks,
sure.
No tackles for loss. Pressures. But if you get there one, like you say he had one pressure or one hit on the quarterback. Sometimes that's enough. As a quarterback, when you are constantly feeling that guy breathing down your neck, like he may never have gotten there, but you keep like, oh, man, he's right there. I got to step up. He's getting me off my spot. You know, as Al Villanueva would have said, step up. my God, I love y'all. But sometimes you can affect a game, which is what TJ and Alex do every single week. You can affect a game sometimes without even making a play. Because as an offense, you have to take account for that guy. Mm-hmm. So you're putting two guys over there. You're having a guy chip. You're having guys try and block him. And you're constantly feeling like quarterback, I got to get the ball out. Here they come. They're coming. I got to get the ball out. And maybe there's a guy about to be open, or maybe there's something that's coming, but you have to rush it a little more than you really maybe had. Maybe they're not even close to you, but you still feel like you always have a clock. We talk about quarterbacks' clocks. You have a clock in your head. And you might be feeling that clock, even if it's not really there, because you're like, I know they're coming. They got to be coming. And so those guys can affect a game and change a game right now like very few people in the NFL can.
Oh, yeah, dude. I think there is an enormous power in just presence. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel those guys, you just feel when they're around. You know what I mean?
100%. And Alex right now is playing at a super high level. I think those two, it's great because they're like pushing each other, right? Like Alex wants, like everyone knows TJ is the dude.
Right.
And so that's like forcing Alex to like, I got to do this because that's my guy over there. That's, you know, who's Batman, who's Robin this week.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And so it's forcing Alex to step up, which then is forcing TJ to step, you know, it's like, it's just a great problem to have. When you have two guys that are competing and pushing each other like that, it's a great problem to have for the Steelers and an awful problem to have for other teams.
Yes, so for sure. So you mentioned this earlier, and I don't want to camp out on it too much because I think it's just an easy, I don't know, man. It's easy click stuff, and we're not really the podcast to do that. I know this ends up in a lot of headlines just because you're the one saying things.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the Fire Canada chants and all that kind of stuff. And in mentioning, like, you see, I mean, he's still calling the plays in the fourth quarter. And we're putting them together and we're executing. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this a little bit before we started filming. About like, man, I don't, you know, like, yeah, there's been times at which the offense has seemed predictable. There's been obvious frustrations that we've seen it as a city. I think other opponents have seen it. I would imagine that players have seen it or felt it. How many of those wins you have to stack before that, because I don't think you get out of it with 1 week.
No,
you
know you're not mean? Going to,
because it's a presence. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost bigger than the actual issue. Like, you know what I mean? It feels like the Fire Canada legend is almost bigger than the actual issue.
Than the issue, for sure. I would agree with you. I unfortunately, I feel like it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless, I know it sounds crazy, unless all of a sudden they become the best offense in the league. And they go win a AFC North, they go win the AFC, they go win a Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't, and it's unfair for Matt. I will say this. It's unfair for his family because I know it's tough on them. But it is what, that's what you sign up for, unfortunately. Yeah. Because again, do we know it's all Matt's fault? No.
It's a team sport, man. It's a team sport.
Is it? It could be the line. There could be an issue with the line. There could be an issue with the backs, with the tight ends, with the quarterback, with the receivers, with maybe the head coach is telling him to do this kind of stuff, you know? if they don't get that on fourth down, that last play, which will, you know, we can tell the quarterback sneak. If they don't get that, it's Matt Canada. Oh, I mean, they're gonna get him. But I bet you any of my, I mean, I can't say I guarantee it. Tomlin's the one that said that. Hey, sneak it, go. But they're not gonna get on him for it, right, you know. Right. But it worked, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it's gonna be talked about because it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and every single play could be a different issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, hey, man.
Could be a great play call.
And we got everybody on the line straight, man. Everyone's blocking. They did everybody's assignment, crushed it. But something else went. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then the next play, y'all fixed that, and then that went. So, yeah, I'm just curious because, obviously, in this league, winning covers a multitude. Yes. You know, of issues. So.
Well, and that's why I say, you know, like people are like, oh, you know, Ben, you want to come be the coordinator, this and that. No, because you can call a great game, but if it's not executed right,
yeah,
it looks like you didn't call the good play. So that's why I'm saying, do we know for sure who's to blame for the offense? It's going to always go. Coach Hep used to say, the quarterback and the coach are one and the same. They get too much credit when you win and too much blame when you lose. So.
There you go.
I don't know. Anyway, that's my soapbox about the coordinator and what I just. Good job, Matt, in the fourth quarter. You know, finding a way to win that game.
Yeah, I love seeing the score turn out the way that it turns out, man. You know, there are times when it didn't seem pretty. I mean, you're talking about the first half starting quick. It did not feel like we did that. We did that. I will say,
I was nervous.
I'll give flowers, Presley Harvin.
Part of the well.
I felt like
good to have him back out there.
Yeah, man.
Like, I mean, nothing, and I play with Brad Wing too. I like Brad. Brad was awesome.
Yeah.
But having Presley out there, that was first punt made me nervous. I was like, oh,
can't
boy,
win them all. What can't are we win, doing? Can't win them all.
But Presley right now.
I thought he had some punts, man, today that I felt like he was just placing those things intentionally. I thought his performance, by and large, was awesome, man. I thought, especially in the first half, it's like, hey, if we're not going to do anything with this, if we're unable to convert this into some points, man, he was pushing them back, and I thought that was awesome.
And good job to Boz, obviously, doing his thing. Because I thought that, too, at the end of that game. He's I thought Mike might kick the field goal and go up 10 and put it out of reach.
What happened there?
You know what? I don't hate the call.
Because you put it two scores, then.
You do put up two scores, but you also – I know. That's one of those decisions I would love to know the analytics say on it. I know the Steelers don't typically do analytics, but it's kind of one of those things that if you get that first, you can kneel it and the game's over. And so that is, you know, you take the field goal block out, you take, you know, then.
Why give it to them?
Yes. Yeah. So I don't hate the call. It's just it's very risky. I know Boz would have nailed it because he's been making everything and was super happy for Boz. But they got really. I mean, I thought, man, if that play would have been challenged, I don't know if it would have stood. I'm just being honest. I don't know. Maybe it would have because it was called down the field, but after watching it and replaying it and looking at the sneak at the end with Kenny.
I thought it was a little short.
The ref came in and he did like he was up here and then he ran back like this and then he kind of did like this. He was kind of weaving.
My man's ran.
Yeah. So
I'll take that every day of the week, and it happens.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, when they do that for you, but it just seemed like his knee was down a little bit short.
He kind of slipped. Like, it looked like he slipped or stepped on someone's foot or whatever. But hey, again, Tomlin's flying home. Well, if they got out this time, there's no issue on the plane. Tomlin's flying home right now. Like,
yep,
done. We won it. Who cares?
Yep,
doesn't matter. I don't care what they say. They can look at this, that, and the other. See, shows the importance of keeping a timeout as a coach.
So I was going to ask you about that. So there was that happened at 2:12 in the fourth quarter. So you were 12 seconds away from the 2-minute warning. So you can't get a review. They were unable to challenge it because they didn't have a timeout. In a moment like that, as a coach, are you kicking yourself? Or are you happy? I don't know when they used their timeouts in the second half.
Yeah, it depends on how. I don't remember either. It depends on how they used them.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're absolutely kicking yourself because you're like. This just, I mean, we just, now again, we don't know for sure if they would have challenged it, if it got overturned.
Yeah.
That's just our eye looking at it and whatever. And that, like I said, that referee doing the little weave on the way in. but you know what? At the end of the day, as a Steelers coach, the players, and as a fan, it's like, hey, I don't really care.
Yeah. Listen,
I don't really care.
As long as we're winning, buddy.
Yep.
As long as we are winning. I like that, man. So I'm going to crack open this other beer here that we got from Caitlin and Mark here.
All right, Caitlin and Mark. Hope you guys.
Do you think they sent this terrible towel in to help me clean up all these beers that are dead? You know, they're like, oh, it was sweet. We had it for our wedding. It's like, oh, yeah. Actually, and Spence is,
messy.
Is a toddler. So which one do I want to do here? Let's do this one. All right. So I'll get this thing going, but I do want to get your insight on what you think might transpire with within the division now, because everybody who played in the AFC North won today. We dropped to 2.
We were in first place, went to 2 after Baltimore won?
Yeah, after Baltimore won.
Okay.
I believe we were in first. I could be wrong on that.
Well, Cleveland... But. Finding a way to sneak that one out at the
end. That was a really good game, bro. That was fun to watch.
That was nuts. They put up 30 on the best defense. I mean, all the stuff that they've been doing, that's crazy.
Yes. With a backup quarterback?
Yeah. Might be the best backup in the NFL, though.
You think?
Gardner?
Gardner Minshew?
He's a pretty good backup.
Really?
Yeah, he's been doing it for a little while, can play a little bit.
I mean, he's not trash, man. I just, to me, the games that I've seen, it seems like there's these moments, these little moments that separate like good from great, where it's like the decision making's a little off.
Yeah.
To where it's like these little moments that like shouldn't have done that one, you know. So, but what do I know? Here you go. There's this. This is also from Deep River.
Okay. I was just looking like the other games. The Broncos beat the Packers today?
Dude, yes.
Was it like a crazy?
No, I think it was like 19. How did it end? Anyway,
yeah, this is I yeah, didn't see anything. Yeah, it's 1917, but I'm like, was it close? It was like Jordan Love threw an interception, double coverage to the.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, enough of that.
The old Broncos, man. What's the Broncos record?
Not very good.
One in something, right?
Yeah, it might be their second or third. Maybe the third one.
At least one.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay. I think you're going to like this. This is called Mango Tango Foxtrot. Like,
you're the mango guy.
I do like mango. Yeah, but
throw that on me.
But you're the tango guy. You like this, see? Hey, whoa, don't hurt him. Don't hurt him now. Hey, don't hurt him. All right. For all of our listeners, you just missed some of the best dance moves.
Just got my ribs a little bit.
Oh, we're going to have to put you on IR after
oblique,
that.
An oblique.
So this is obviously an IPA. If you can't smell the hops as soon as I cracked it open, it's 5.7.
It's a low IBU, though.
Yeah, is it? I don't know.
As an alchemist, I'm just telling you.
Oh, well, you're the professional. What's it say? I'm just some guy. I can't find the IBU.
95. That'd be so funny.
Without
sipping, just smelling. If I can smell the bitter.
I don't know, dude. This label's quite busy, and I can't find all the information.
Okay.
But yeah, so Mango Tango Foxtrot is a juicy IPA with notes of guava, which I'm sure you can find. Mm. Ripe mangoes. You will be happy to know that no mangoes perished while making this beer. The tropical notes are derived from Australian hop varieties used in this beer, coupled with our house ale yeast strain. Mango Tango Foxtrot is dedicated to everyone.
Excuse me.
Yes, go ahead.
So there's no mango in it.
That's what I'm gathering.
So it's called mango, but there's no mango in it.
Right. It's a ghost mango.
I got you. Gotcha. So when you have like... So there's probably no real lime in this one either.
I actually believe that. It tasted like artificial lime. I didn't want to air it out because I'm sure they worked really hard on it. And it is a good beer, but
mango. It's just flavored mango.
Yeah. And it comes from a tropical notes derived from the Australian hops varieties used. So, but it goes out to everyone out there who is not afraid to hop out of the box and try something new. Before you know it, you will be calling hop bombs all day long.
Hop bombs.
Well, it's because it has a military.
Yeah, I get it. Military. You know. Mango Foxtrot.
Yeah. All right.
I don't taste any mango.
Well, there's none in it. That's why.
Nothing? Ooh, that's really.
Smells
good. Take that back on the IBU.
Is it?
Cool.
It's going to wreck it.
Yeah. It almost tastes like I'm tasting a winter, like a year bubblegum a little bit.
Yes, that's exactly what I got. I knew it. You knew exactly.
I taste your winter, your wheat beer in there somehow.
Why would you do that? Why would you call an IPA? You ever seen Parks and Rec?
No.
Okay, so Ron Swanson, he's the man. Real man's man, right?
Okay.
And he goes to a diner to get a steak because he wanted to go to a steakhouse. They didn't have that the steakhouse ended up being closed. His heart was broken.
Okay.
He gets a diner steak, which, as we both know, is not a real steak.
Okay.
It might be beef.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they bring him a steak, and he looks at it, he goes, "This isn't a steak. Why would you call it a steak on your menu?" That's how I feel right now.
Okay.
It's like, this isn't an IPA. Why would you call it an IPA? And then he proceeds to say one of the most famous lines. He goes, "All right, I need you to bring me all the bacon and eggs you have." And he stops the waiter and he goes, "I'm afraid of what you just heard is I want a lot of bacon and eggs. What I said was, bring me all the bacon and eggs you have."
Okay.
I got to turn you on the show. It's amazing.
Okay. This doesn't taste like an IPA at all.
That's what I'm saying.
It tastes like a wheat beer. It's okay. I don't care for it. I like this one much better. Excuse me, it made me burp. I don't know. It is
weird that they would put mango in it.
Burp again. I don't taste the mango. I don't taste the IPA. I would drink. If I went to a place and they're like, "Hey, we want you to drink this," I say, "Okay, I drink one."
I want you to drink this. Is that what happens? You go to bars.
Like, I don't know.
"Hey, we want you to drink this." Okay.
No, if we ever went to their place, like to Deep River Brewing Company,
I would love to go to their place.
And they said, "Drink this." Okay. Do another one. No, thank you.
I hope you would say it like that. Oh, no. Give me that lime, that fake lime thing.
This one is better.
I feel bad. I shouldn't say fake. That one is very good. I prefer a different lager. This one, I do not like that much. I'll give it a 4 because it tastes like a... I will say this. If you are a fan of Belgian wheat beers...
I know. How does that taste like that,
though? You're going to love that.
It's almost like...
Not even Belgian, just
how
wheat.
How are you allowed to call it an IPA? It's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to go 4.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. It's just not... I was expecting like a little mango-y IPA.
To mismanage expectations. Yeah. Well... Now we know.
Mismanage expectations. It's a lot like the Steelers after the preseason.
They mismanage your expectations. Offense. They mismanage. Did you expect them to come out of the gate hot?
Yes.
Like,
did you not see them in the preseason? They couldn't stop. They couldn't be stopped.
I know, but
I told Todd, as we said here on the show with the millions of people watching around the world, they got to play more in the preseason, the offense.
Yeah. Do you think that's going to change next year? So no. I won't speak for
you. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
At this point, who knows?
Do you think that would actually have?
I have no idea if it would even help. Yeah. I'm just making the. All I said is, in the preseason they didn't play right. I said on the show, I wish they'd just get a little bit more situational football. Now listen, is it going to make them come out and put up 40 a game? Probably not. But and it probably means nothing, does nothing. But it's still just.
I mean, reps never hurt, right? What does the preseason do for the coaching staff? Do you still get the same reps, or are you actually like by the time you are going to camp, OTAs and stuff like that, is the offense kind of sorted out?
No, usually. So the preseason, the unique different thing about the preseason is you usually don't do a lot of like scouting. So in a game like today's game, they would have scouting report. You know what the other team's doing on third down and two, third and medium, third and long, third and extra long. You're scouting, right? That's where the chess match comes from. You know, you're trying to call plays and figure things out off of tendencies, which is why I always said when you were in a no huddle situation, you got a little bit of an advantage because now you're seeing what they're doing. They can't change it as much, and so you're reacting to what they're showing. Where in a regular game, coaches are calling it off of what they expect. Defensive coaches calling what the offensive tendencies are, and offenses calling off what the defense tendencies are. So in the preseason, a lot of times it's just dialed way down. Mm-hmm. You don't want to show any of your trick plays. You don't want to give away too much because what you don't want to do is in the preseason show the teams you're going to play in the regular season what you're really going to do.
Sure.
What some of your things are. And so watching Tyreek Hill, just he's like a little, he's so quick.
Oh, dude.
Literally a cheetah.
It's unbelievable. And so, anyway, preseason It's a dialed back version of what you're gonna do in the regular season.
So you're not getting coaching reps, is what I'm saying.
But listen, I've been in all my years of playing in preseason games. I mean, we called like some of the same plays over and over mm-hmm. because you're just like, listen, we're gonna rep this play.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna run this play. We're gonna rep it, and we're gonna do it. That's the stuff you're doing in the preseason. It's a super glorified practice.
Yeah,
in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good throwing touchdown.
Yeah, the Eagles uniforms are awesome. Those throwback green joints. Those things
are the holding offense.
Got him.
Touchdown. That's the worst. You throw a touchdown, and you turn around and see a flag on the ground. It's the worst. Come on, Al. What are we doing?
Beefcake Al? Al, why are you holding him, man? That's hilarious, dude. Mm.
Speaking of, do you see the wall back here?
This one? Yeah. I can't punch in or else I
will. I know. Danny Ainge.
Hey, look at that.
New jersey to the wall.
Hey, yeah, people were wondering where the old Charlie Hustle went.
Danny Ainge is now up.
Look at that.
Yeah, golf with coach, GM, owner. I mean, he's everything. He's awesome. What a genuinely good person. Funny as all get out. Come Uncle Ainge. He's like your uncle, you know. But no, I put him up on the wall.
People have been curious about the because I don't know if you can see it on mine here. It's too close. Okay, but over here, this is
penguin wall.
Yeah, you have the penguin wall.
Yeah.
Right, and so behind me is a penguin wall. You have Crosby, Lemieux, and then you have your penguin jersey for when you were on.
When I dropped the puck for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So you have that, which that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you have these four.
Yep.
And behind you, you can't really see back in the shadows there. You have your college, right? Back here. And then on the other side of you, into the darkness and the abyss back there, is a Steeler wall.
Yeah, my Steeler wall's back there. So that's got my the what I would consider the greats that I've either played with or been around. So,
I would say, what does it take to get on the wall?
Well, that wall has
some legends. That's a hefty wall.
Yeah, those are all personalized jerseys. Those are special jerseys.
That's a heavy wall.
From top left all the way down, James Harrison. I mean, the dude who's getting it. Oh, I don't know if I can say that.
He's getting into his car earlier today. Don't worry about it.
We'll talk about that maybe next week. I assume that's well known, but
yeah, don't worry about it, guys.
You guys will know. Followed next by my boy number 99, Brett Kiesel.
Come on, man,
my boy. Top right, Heath.
It's tight end day.
Tight end, national tight end day. Hey, happy.
And his birthday.
Heath, happy national tight end
day. Isn't his birthday today too?
Is it?
Let me see.
I mean, I usually know those things.
Let me check my sources.
If it is, I might have to call him live on the show.
Yeah, you might have to.
Next row down, the center, Marquise Pouncey.
There he is.
My guy.
Legend.
My guy. Next to him, maybe the all-time greatest Steeler, Mean Joe Green.
October 20th, it is his birthday. Today is Heath Miller's birthday.
I feel it. I'm going to call him. Next to him, arguably, the next greatest Steeler, Troy Polamalu.
Hey.
Polamalu. Going down. Next row.
Yep.
The Bus. Oh. Who we have on the show?
It's a great show.
Next to him, making his name for the Hall of Fame and maybe one of the greats of all time for the Steelers, T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt made the wall.
T.J. Watt's on the wall. And then next to him, my boy, Haji.
Yep.
Merle.
Merle Haji.
Merle. Speaking of Merle.
Yes. That's a heavy wall you got there, bud.
That's one of my favorite walls. Those guys up there. That's a good wall right there. Good friends, good players.
And you said a couple of things in that I think we should. I don't want to say debate, but here's some reasoning behind. But go ahead and say what you're going to say, and I'll double back.
Oh, I was just going to say next week, if it works, I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, let's do it. So next week, we're going to do the Jags game. And we are in the process right now working out all the kinks to do a live stream. All right, we're going to live stream the game. We're going to do a watch-along. We'll do a watch-along regardless if we have some technical difficulties. We're teasing out. You have to realize we're just doing this in a basement. And there's a lot, and this looks like a fire hazard of gear, but we're not really working with much, bub. All right, so we are working all that out so we can do a live stream, so you guys can watch the game along with us at home. You can mute Tony Romo or
there's no chance they're doing that game.
No, or whoever else is doing it. We're gonna
try and do it live, which y'all have been asking for. Now we can't show the game
right
on here, but y'all can watch it
and listen to Ben
and listen to and hopefully Merrill.
Yes,
Merrill and I are gonna hopefully sit here with Spence and just talk. We're not gonna broadcast the game because you guys can watch it and see it, and we're gonna try our best not to tell you the obvious, like hand off to Miller, hand off to Naj. I'm looking at Heath's name, Miller. Hand off to Naj off the right side. No, we're going to just give you our insight as we go. So hopefully it'll be good. If it's no good, then we'll never do it again.
Yeah. If it's trash, we'll know very quickly.
Yes.
And you'll still have to sit through it because we'll have already got it going, but that'll be the last one. So we are going to try to make that work for next week. We will let you know for sure this week. On all the social media platforms. So I will make sure that there is a confirmation of that for all you guys on Instagram.
What are you doing?
On YouTube. Who you got there, bud? Hello?
What are you doing? Are you doing a podcast? We are, and we're doing it, and we realize it's National Tight End Day, and we wanted to call you and then also wish you happy birthday.
Thank you.
What are you doing, buddy? It is National Tight Ends Day.
Thanks for recognizing it.
Yeah, you guys are the only position that get like a national day, I think. And very well deserved for you, bud.
I finally got some love.
Some love. You should get some love. And it's your birthday. Actually, they might have done that on purpose. Teeth's birthday. Let's do it. Did you have a happy birthday, buddy? Do you feel old?
I feel old, yeah.
Well, I won't keep you. We're sitting down here. We're talking about my Steeler wall, and I mentioned you, and we said National Tight End Day, and then Spence is like, I think it's Heath's birthday. I'm like, no way, and so we had to call you too.
On today, who's your guest?
No one. You are. You're the guest. We're gonna put you on live now.
Right.
No, we're just talking about the Rams game and hanging out. So we don't have a guest, but we want to wish you happy birthday. All the millions of fans watching around the world right now want to wish you happy birthday. Okay. All right, buddy. Take care. All right. Love you, pal. See you, bud. Oh, how nice was that? That just made my day.
Heath Miller is the nicest human being
he's unbelievable.
Ever created. What
that was so awesome.
What was a conversation between Heath Miller and Troy like? Because I feel like both of them are so nice, so polite, so cordial, so considerate. Was it as friendly as I imagine it would be? It was like that? Just a lot. Excuse me.
This here you go, ready?
Yeah.
Hey Troy. Hey Heath. How are you? Good, how are you? Fine. Thanks for asking. Okay. Have a great day. Okay. You too. There you go. You guys all just got inside the locker room.
Wow.
Inside the locker room.
I felt like I was there.
You were. That's what it was.
That was,
the nicest people in the world that didn't really say much.
You really took us there, man. I mean, that's... And they're so violent on the field.
Oh yeah!
They're
now if you want to on the field one.
No. Right. So you said on the jersey wall, Joe Green, greatest steal of all time. I'm not going to argue that.
Yes.
And then you said, Troy would be the second greatest.
I know. Arguably. Troy is. Listen,
like he's up there. For sure.
There are so many great Steelers.
Okay. Because I was saying, do you have a top five? Do you have a top five greatest Steelers?
It'd be hard because of the teams of the 70s.
Yeah.
There's like 20 Hall of Famers. I mean, how do you... It's so hard because you could argue so many of them. I don't think that, like... I don't think Joe is an argument. Joe is, like... Yeah, I mean, he's in your top five no matter what. You know, and you know, some people wouldn't put you know, I don't know, see, I don't even want to get into it because I don't want to cause any uproar. But everybody's going to have their opinions.
Yeah.
Right? Some people are like, nope, that guy's in there. Nope, that guy's in there. Sure. And some people are going to, I mean, you know, there's so many greats to pick from. And I might be biased with Troy, but I think a lot of people would put Troy in the top five. I think that. Yeah. Like I said, I might be biased. But, again, it's really kind of one of those things that just game changers.
Yeah.
You know, I think Mel Blount was a game changer. They made rules. When they make rules for you,
yeah.
I mean, there's just something to it. But you look at guys, you know, again, I can't even start with the guys. I feel like it'd be hard to do a top five, even a top 10. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could rank them from like 1 to 10. I think it's like,
sure,
y'all are just in there.
Yeah, I get that.
In my opinion.
Could you, and I'm not going to ask you to do it, but do you think you could build a Steelers all-star team any decade, any era, fill every position, offense, defense? Who would you pick?
Could I do it?
Yeah.
I don't know that I could, because I would, I'd lose track. I wouldn't be able to keep some of the linemen or whatever.
Yeah.
And you would start, what you'd run into issues with would be guys like, okay, guys from the 70s that were like greats, Swan, Stallworth, the receiver. But their stats, because of the era they played in, don't match up with A.B. Hines, things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Heath Miller. So it's just generationally different.
What? Yeah, 100%.
So like you look, I would put Terry as the quarterback. Just that's my opinion. Hmm. But if you look at my stats blow his out of the water. But he's got the championships, and that's what matters the most.
Yeah.
So that's where you start really trying to figure it all out, you know?
Yeah. So, but I guess, yeah, if the goal is to take that team and actually try to go win something, yes, for sure. Hmm. But if it's just like a legendary, you were building like a Madden team and all the stats were like somehow equal to the time period in which you are building this team.
Yeah, I know.
But I know, it's hard to do. It's hard to do.
Yeah, because I don't know well enough. Like, I don't know the defenses of that 70 that well. Like, you know, Hammond, Lambert, and those guys. Jack Wagner, some of those guys. I mean, there's so many guys. Like I don't know how, like, a James Harrison stacks up to those guys. I just don't know. I know what I know of James Harrison,
right.
Like, but I don't know how he stacks up to those guys and some of that stuff. So, it's a pretty cool problem to have when your franchise has got that many.
Right,
so
I don't know who to pick. Yeah, that is wild.
So,
well, hey man.
Yeah.
So
do we need to talk about the game more? I know I hit like a broad stroke.
We need to. I mean, is there anything about the game that really stands out?
The
one thing that I'm curious about, I mean, you can put, yes, we can definitely tease out individual plays for sure. We could sit here and tease that out for the next 3 hours if we wanted to.
Yeah, I don't need to do that. I'm just trying to think if there's anything big. I mean, Kenny, I thought, you know, like, again, playing well in the second half and playing well down the stretch. I still felt like there were a couple throws that were just a touch off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys I thought that he could hit, but he makes the throws when he has to, and I think that's awesome. What he's doing and finding ways is pretty cool.
I heard TJ talk about in his post game about getting the spark. Obviously, he was the one that caused it today, but he's, you know, they talk about a spark, getting a spark. Mm-hmm. He mentioned not caring where it came from. We just needed it to keep going. Obviously, when you don't start off fast, you don't start off quick. You are looking for that spark. You come out the game. Is every game looking for that one thing to set you off, or are you able to kind of, you know, if it happens early, like you say, you score on a first drive, are you considering that a spark to get you going? Or are you like, oh no, we're out here and we're just asserting our will?
Well, you'd like to be the reason that you are the spark, right, on offense. Like, you want a big play, you want a guy to make a play. That's the stuff you want for your spark. You don't want, as an offense, to need TJ Watt to intercept the ball and run it back, or Alex Highsmith to make a sack fumble, or Minka to pick a ball off. Like, you don't want that to be your spark. You want your spark to be you guys, a big run. But I thought they didn't have a spark today. Like, I'm trying to think of like big plays. Like, you know, was there that big play? I mean, there were some things that happened, but like, I thought Naj running the ball real hard today, picking up, you know, 6-7 yards a pop and doing stuff like that. I thought that was huge. So I think the offense is still waiting on that big play potential, that big play,
yeah,
bomb down the field. I still would love to see a wide receiver screen somewhere. I'd love to see a little slip screen to a tight end. I know Pat's not in there, but
yeah, what's that tight end situation looking like, man? Because you got was it Washington?
Yep.
Yeah, Connor.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think either. I know Connor was. I think he Connor's was targeted once today. I think through a throw. I think.
Yeah, but you don't see. Obviously, you know when Pat's in there, I feel like. Pat
is still so underused. So underused.
Is that just the scheme thing? Like, even when you got Pat in there, you're not targeting him like we have historically seen.
Yeah,
in the
I don't know how to answer that. Yeah. I can't say it's a scheme thing, or is he just not looking for him? Mm-hmm. Like, I loved throwing to the tight end. I mean, I had a great one. A guy we just talked to in Heath, and I loved playing with Pat the 1 year I was, but at some point, like, the tight end is like a quarterback's best friend, that or that guy that can just find. I mean, and I know Kelce is one of the best, but look what Mahomes does when he's out there, when he's not. Something about having that guy
is the allure to throw to a tight end as a from your point of view as a quarterback. Is it because of the routes that they're designated? Is it because their size? Like, what differentiates them from a wide receiver?
Both. I mean, I think that for me, it was always the comfort in knowing that the tight end was going to be in the right spot. He was going to be where he was supposed to be. He wasn't going to ad-lib. He wasn't going to make up his own thing. If he was supposed to run 12 yards and turn around, he was going to be there. He wasn't going to maybe go 10 or 14 or turn the wrong way. He was going to be where he was supposed to be. And that's reassuring as a quarterback to know and trust that your guy's going to be there where you need him to be. And usually a big body guy, someone that has, you know, good catch radius or a strong catcher in traffic, somewhere that when things are breaking down, I can just, I can throw it real quick and the guy's going to make a play. Yeah. And so it just, you know, when you get a good tight end, you got to take advantage of it. And that'd be the one area that I'd say that I wish the Steelers would still look into. And maybe Kenny's not, and maybe he doesn't like throwing over the middle. Again, I can't put I'm not going to point a finger at anybody because I don't know where it is. I'm not in that building. I'm not listening to those guys. I'm not in meetings.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say it's on Matt. I want to say that I'm just going to add my 2 cents from an armchair quarterback who's sitting here and knowing that I play with that guy and what it is to have a good tight end.
Yeah. Well, I think it's Darnell Washington. Mm-hmm. It says, I heard he's a giant.
He's a big man.
Yeah. And I see what was it, week one, he pancaked Bosa.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a clip of that. I was like, well, that's not easy to do. You know, so I do think there's a lot of potential in that dude as well. I don't know, you know, what his hands are. I imagine they're not trash because the Steelers are pretty adamant about that when selecting dudes. So I would like to see it a lot more too, obviously, just because it's paid off well historically. But it is interesting to see, even before Pat got injured, which I don't know the status of Pat's injury.
Well, I thought he was coming back this week, but he must have tweaked it in this week of practice.
Hamstring, right?
Yeah. I know, Thursday.
I'll be a better Pat, man. I'd like to see you back out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So yeah, as far as the game goes, I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about. I am curious about what it does for our division and like where.
Oh, yeah, you asked about that division, I think.
Well, just because, okay, so the Bengals have a bye. We dropped a second to. What's crazy is that when Baltimore played us, it was like.
They look awful.
And they blow a really good Detroit team out of the water.
That's why I had that thought today after that game. I watched some of these games. I watched, you know, the Browns go a couple weeks ago and win. I watched Baltimore go win. And I'm like, I think maybe we have more hope than we think.
Yeah.
Because we're playing those teams. And it's like, wow, we've squeaked past them. And then they go blow out the Lions. They beat the Colts and this, that, and the other. But it's like, maybe we're better than you know. People are like, oh, we're no good. But, we're 4-2 right now. We're sitting in the driver's seat. Got the Jags coming to town, which won't be easy because the Jaguars are playing well. But I'd like us winning that game, to be honest. And so, you know, in the division, I still, you know, we still have to go play. We had to go to Baltimore. We had to go to Cleveland. And we still have Cincinnati twice.
Yeah.
So we still got a lot of division play left. We'll have to just kind of see how Cincinnati comes out of this bye. And see what teams. But again, I think, you know, as I sit there and watch these games and think about how, like we talk about, like, well, how is that team able to look so good, the Baltimore today, and they don't against us? I'm gonna go back and talk about the defense. Our defense is so good.
Yes.
They make so many plays and they get so disruptive that they're the ones that are keeping us in the games.
Yeah.
And giving our offense a chance to win it late, and that's what they're doing. Taking advantage of it.
Yeah, that is interesting, man, because it does feel like there is, when you look at a 4-2 record, it does feel like there's probably a little bit more hope than we assume based upon the frustration of, I think it was a mismanaged expectation. We saw the preseason. We expected this to be dominant. Pittsburgh has a very high bar of excellence when it comes to the Steelers.
Yeah.
It's like we aren't a good football team. We are a dominant football team. Mm-hmm. So anything underneath that,
you're 4-2.
That's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
but how we're getting there? It's like we just,
it's ugly wins. But you're winning. Even if you're winning, you're winning ugly. Like that's fine. Like just win.
Right.
And right now they're just winning,
especially early in the season.
They're just winning. Yeah. And so find a way to keep it going. And I don't think they have the toughest schedule. Like this was a big one because I think a lot of people weren't sure what to think this week. Like, okay, going out to play the Rams. They're not a great team, but they're not awful. You got to travel a long way. And I think people were nervous about being 3-3 leaving this week. Because then you come home and you got to – I think it's a good Jacksonville team. I do. But, again, if you end up – I don't know. Even if you drop this one, you're 4-3. You're still – you're doing some good things. I think the outlook for the team should be a little brighter than what it probably feels like sometimes around here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as long as we're progressing steadily, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, you got two rushing touchdowns plus the one Kenny had. No passing touchdowns today.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, you want those, but you got down when you got in the end zone.
Yeah.
And you didn't count on your defense scoring or, Boz carrying you. You got in the end zone three times. I think that's progress.
Yeah.
So,
well,
give me one more. Give me one more.
I got it.
Give me one more.
This is... the last one we got from Old Deep River. It's called Donkey Sauce.
Oh my
god, dude! I'm gonna say this, man. We've been in this craft beer world as visitors for the last 2 years or whatever, man. We've delved in and we've gotten to experience a lot of really cool aspects of the craft beer game. These beer names, man.
Pretty funny.
These beer names aren't it. What's the weirdest beer name you think you've had? Have you heard?
This is pretty close. Donkey Sauce. Well, didn't we
have one? Unicorn Farts.
Unicorn Farts.
Unicorn Farts is the...
Didn't we have one like Elk Pee or something? Or
oh, yeah.
Moose?
Moose Drool.
Moose Drool, something like that.
That's what I'm saying. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Like, dog. See, that's what happened. It's just these dented...
Oh, you messed it up again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we always talk about Benjamin on this thing. I want to give Bailey a quick shout out.
Yeah,
my daughter, Bailey, she tried out the last 2 days for a volleyball team. She just started playing volleyball like a month or two ago. And so she tried out for like a travel team very early in her volleyball career, if there's going to be one. But she was so like nervous. And so they don't find out till Wednesday if they made it or not. And so she's like, Dad, I wish I could find out tonight. I'm like, listen, sweetie, whatever happens, I am so proud of you for trying and going out there and doing it all. So just want to give Bailey a little love, as we do for Benjamin and his golf. That
yes.
She's really come a long way in a month, and Coach Victor's been awesome. So thank you. Thank you to the Tumans. The Tumans have helped get us in line with some stuff. So
I will say this as
happy National Tight End Tuman.
Oh, there you go. I will say this as a daughter dad. If my daughters turn out half as good as Bailey, I will be through the moon.
She's a good girl.
She is amazing. Not only at sports, phenomenal singer, but a great person. I can't say enough good things, man.
She has a solo in this year's little like choir performance for the school. Yeah. I'm like, you nervous? She goes, Dad, I don't get nervous when I sing. I'm like, I'm sorry?
Yeah, dude.
She's like, I get nervous sometimes when I speak in front of people, but not when I sing. I'm like, shouldn't it be like...
Dude, she's a really good singer. Well, the other night when we were down here jamming, we like... I was over here, and
you were up like just playing guitar and piano,
and then
just doing your thing.
And Bailey was like, she just jumped in. She goes, you know this one, and starts playing and singing. I'm like, I was like, no, can you tell me what the chords are?
She's unbelievable.
He's crushing it, man.
Donkey sauce. Yeah, tell me about donkey sauce.
Oh, okay, pivot. This is 7.7 percent. Okay. Donkey Sauce is a New England style IPA brewed with over 5 pounds hops, over 5 pounds hops per barrel. Not pounds of hops, but hops per barrel. We use all.
Is this really an IPA or is it just a?
We don't know. Fake IPA. Only one way to find out. It says we use all the sexy hops like Mosaic, Galaxy, and Citra hops, including a few others in this beer.
I've heard of those?
Yes. We use a high chloride to sulfate ratio, you know, to lend it a nice, soft, velvety mouthfeel full of citrus notes, that, which is, that's how we do
velvety
it.
Velvety mouthfeel. Yeah.
Like Guy Fieri, we put this stuff on everything. I guess that's...
Yeah, yeah, I got you. I'm with you. Know. Okay.
All right. Donkey sauce. Here we go. Smells good.
Tastes just like a stronger mango tango.
That's exactly what it tastes like. What hops are they putting in here?
Not those mosaics that we drank before.
They hit you with some. Here's the thing.
That just tastes like a more alcohol heavy.
They hit you with the Apple agreement or the healthcare. Let me just duck in. Here's all the Mosaic, Galaxy, Citra. Oh, and a few others. That's what the few others is what we're tasting.
Yeah, there's no IPA in that.
It smells super hoppy.
I'm gonna say this.
It tastes exactly how you described them. I like this one better than that one though.
Yes, I agree. This is better. I'm gonna have another one to.
I think if you like IPAs, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like bash these people. It's not awful, but it's just not what I like when you what I'm expecting.
Yes, which is I'm always for. I'm like, hey, turn me on to something new. I'm for it. Educate me, expand what I know.
Yeah, this is so 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. I also don't know when these were sent in. So I don't know how old these are either.
Well,
I don't know if that matters.
No, it's just it's just not like if you would just. I wish they would just not mark it as an IPA.
What would you call that?
I don't know.
It has to be an IPA. It's because it is super hoppy, but it's not IPA hoppy to me. IPA it hoppy. Smells hoppy to me. But,
I get it.
I would love to go. What is it? Deep River.
Yeah, Deep River.
I would like to go to Deep River and try what else they have, because if they're making that lager, they got to have some gems. But
yeah, it's interesting. You taste the 7.7 a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely get that.
Are these their favorites, by the way, Caitlin and Marks, or just they just like sending them in?
Well, so people know you like IPAs, so we get a lot of IPAs. Let me see here. Matter of fact, Mark, the homie Mark, don't even drink IPAs. But his best friend Justin from Gibsonia,
of course,
said that their donkey sauce is amazing. I don't trust Justin anymore.
Well, Justin,
we all got that
well,
one.
Well, we've Justin. Got a Justin. We all have a friend Justin, don't we? I bet he can't make black and tans either.
He says I also put in their Mango Tango Foxtrot, which is super popular, as well as one of their Limetown Lagers. Unfortunately, they were sold out of his two favorite beers, which is the Chupa Guava and a Limoncello. Hope you two enjoy. Thank you for the memories. And
Mark's favorite beer is a Limoncello?
Well, it's Chupa Guava and a Limoncello.
Mark. Okay, Mark.
Mark. Hey.
Hey, Mark and Kaylin. Thank you still. Still saying thank you.
Listen, the Chupa Guava is just really fun to say, so it's got to be delicious. We should go down to Deep River and try those two at some point. So Deep River... If you're watching this,
yeah,
I'm doubt sure. it. So that's awesome, man. Is there anything else you want to say before we land this plane?
No, I just hope that this thing works out next weekend. I think it'll be fun to have Haji in here and to do this game. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. So that is a goal. Like I said earlier, we are looking to live stream it. You guys can watch it at home. And then crack open a nice little beverage, get yourself a nice little snack, and...
Are you going to have a beverage next weekend?
Yeah, well...
The game?
I will, yes. But I'm going to be, hopefully, just off here in the corner doing this stuff, and you and Hodge are going to be... We're just going to do this show with you and Hodge.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I'll be here, But I think it'd be cool for people to have a beer and watch a game with you guys.
Yeah, that's something. That would be awesome. I'm gonna have a beer.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have Evan make some food too. We have to. Then we have to.
Then we'll definitely make.
Is it a 1 o'clocker?
I have no idea, but that is the goal. And as soon as it is confirmed, guys, like I said on this YouTube channel and on Instagram at Footballing with Ben,
it is 1 o'clock.
Right on. There we go. We will let you know whether or not at 1 o'clock.
4-2 Steelers versus the 5-2 Jags.
Yeah,
we got three straight homes.
Do we? Who we got? Jags,
Titans, Packers. So that's what I'm saying.
How you feel those
Titans things? 2-4, Packers 2-4. Like, we got a chance. This one's going to be tough. I'm not going to lie. So what are we right now? We're 4-2. Say we do win this. We go 5-2, 6-2. I think we could be 7-2 going into the Browns and Bengals at both places. And then Cardinals come to us 1-6. Love Josh Dobbs.
We're taking that for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. But I still love Josh. And even if you happen to lose this week, or you're 4-3, then you go 5-3. I still think you're going to win the next two. So you're back to, you're still 6-3. I mean, you're sitting really pretty.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's a playoff run?
I mean, if I'm looking at the schedule, if I had to pick the schedule right now, we should have Merrill pick the schedule.
Yeah.
Am I going to do it? We got to do a 2-minute with Merrill. We never did that last time.
No, we did.
Maybe during halftime or something.
Do you think he'd be able to do it in 2 minutes?
No. He talks forever. He's a long-winded question. All right. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Steelers are 4-2.
Okay.
I have to be honest probably with like what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, dog.
Okay. I'm going to just say we lose to the Jaguars. I hate to say. I don't think we are, but I'm just going to say it.
Not badly, or is it blowout?
No. I think it'll be close. So we're 4-3. Beat the Titans, 5-3. Beat the Packers, 6-3. To the Browns. Unfortunately, I think we lose that one. We go 6-4. At the Bengals, I think we lose that one. We're 6-5.
Really? Has the Bengals been playing?
I think they're going to come out of this bye and be much better. Okay. Cardinals are here. That's 7. 7-5? Mm-hmm. Or 7-5? Patriots here. Patriots are terrible. They won today, though. They beat the Bills today.
Which I don't know how that happened.
But I don't think they – I think we got that one. That's 8-5. At the Colts – I think it's at the Colts, but I still think we got that one. I think that's 9-5.
Okay.
Bengals are here. 9-6. At Seahawks, I think that's going to be a tough one. I think that's 9-7. At Ravens, 9-8. I'm going to call it 9-8. We go over 500, and we get into the playoffs as a wild card.
You think we're okay? I think we beat the Ravens.
At Ravens. It's going to be tough. Last one of the year. Here's what I'm going to say. If they got nothing to play for, like if they win out or whatever, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So 9-8, that's my prediction, right? Yeah. Is that what it played out?
Yeah.
9-8, and I don't know if that'll – as we move forward, wild card, I can't predict that. But 9-8, wild card is my prediction. Tomlin gets his 500 again.
Yeah. Keep the streak alive. Yep. It's like the Undertaker at WrestleMania. Just keep it alive, man. Okay.
All right.
I don't even have a counter opinion.
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Good talk.
Yeah. You played more snaps than I have. So, well, we appreciate you guys' time. And I don't know what else we got.
That's it. Thanks again, Ken and Mark. Thanks, Deep River Brewing Company, for your beers.
I mean, usually have announcements, but we already told you about the live stream. Keep posted on that. And we will see you guys next week.
Is that it?
One time. Let's try it again.
Sure.